Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 50. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, guide us, direct us, open our hearts to understand what we hear. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive the message. Lord, guide us and direct us. Show us if there are things that we can apply to our lives. Lord, your word is living and alive and does speak to our lives. So show us what it is that you would have us do in light of what we see in your word today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 26, 26 through 50. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, 1 of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords in clubs, sent from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. All right. In today's reading, we see three different things happening. So first, Jesus has what we know as the Last Supper, also known as the Lord's Supper. Next, he leaves with his disciples and goes to the garden and prays. And finally, he is arrested. So let's look at each of these things and what they mean and what we can learn from them. Beginning with the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. This is one of the last moments between Jesus and his disciples. At the end of the reading today, Jesus is arrested and taken away. And so, before he leaves them, he goes through a ceremony, or he goes through something which is very symbolic. That means he uses physical things to represent spiritual ideas. So he does what is known as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Now, today, we still do this as Christians, as followers of Jesus, because later on, he does also command them to do this, remembering him. And so what he does, he takes the bread, he breaks it, and gives it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." In other Gospels, he says it differently, that they record him saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." We do this to remember him, that when he was crucified, his body was broken. He was beaten severely, and he was hurt very badly. Beaten, and he was broken. Why? Why did he do this? He did it for us. And we'll talk about that in just a moment when we look at his prayer in the garden. But at the Last Supper, he does this as a sign, as a thing that they can physically do to remind them of a spiritual truth. That just as his body was broken for us, that's what we see when the bread is broken. That is what happened to him, and it was done for us. Next, there is the cup. And he had wine or grape juice. And so the color of that is deep red or deep purple. And it reminds us, the juice reminds us of Jesus in his blood. The color of that wine was the color of blood in many ways. And so he gives it to them and he says, "Drink from it, all of you." And then he shows, what does it symbolize? What does it show us? "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus gave himself. He offered himself for us. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. Nails were put in his hands. His blood poured out. Why? For us. You see, you have to remember, this isn't in the context of the whole Bible. And the Bible teaches that when I sin, when I break God's commandments, something enters my life that separates me from God. You see, God is a holy God. That means he is pure, he is set apart, and he cannot allow sin into his presence. And so, when I sin, when I do things that separate me from God, then that comes into my life and I can't come into him. I can't come to him because the sin separates me from him. And so, but God provided a way. He said, the punishment for sin is death. The thing that will clean you and make you clean again is death, is blood. Now, it could be our death, that the punishment for sin is we die. But God also made another way. God provided a sacrifice. They could take a perfect animal, a lamb, and kill it in their place. But that was never good enough. It was only a picture of what Jesus would do. That he, as the perfect man, as God in the flesh, would give his life, shed his blood in our place. And that blood alone can clean us, can purify us. That death takes our place, takes our punishment, so that we don't have to die. And so this cup, this wine, reminds us of the blood that Jesus poured out so that we could be forgiven of our sins. It's a beautiful picture. And even today, we do this in churches all over the world. Some do it every week. Others do it every few weeks or every month or every few months. It just depends on which church. But it is done regularly by churches, that they eat bread and drink wine or juice in order to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we can be right with God. Next, Jesus leaves and they go out to the Mount of Olives. And he warns them again, saying, tonight I will be arrested. I will be arrested and taken and killed. And he warns them that that night they will leave him. Now Peter says, no, 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 I will never leave you. I would never forsake you. I would give my whole life for you. But he says, no, Peter, tonight, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. But Jesus knows this is going to happen, but he still loves Peter, and he's trying to warn him, it's going to happen, but you will come back to me. And Jesus uses Peter in great ways after his death and resurrection. And so, but he says, you will deny me. And so then Jesus goes out, and Jesus goes to the garden, and takes a few of his closest disciples, his closest friends, and they go with him to pray. And Jesus repeats the same prayer, or the same ideas, saying, Father, God, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. All right, he is praying to God, saying, Lord, if it's possible, can this be taken from me? What does he mean by this cup? Well, if you look just back in this chapter, the cup symbolizes his blood. And what he's saying is, God, if it is possible, may this be taken from me. May this death, this pain, be taken away, but not as I will, but as you will. That even here, Jesus as a man knows that he is getting ready to suffer very greatly. And he prays and says, Lord, if there is some other way to save mankind, let's do that. But not my will, but yours. I will go through this if this is what you want me to do. If this is the only way to save men, I will do it. And so we see a struggle here where Jesus is facing a very, very difficult time, that he knows what will come. He knows how difficult it will be. And he prays and says, if it's possible that I don't have to do this, take it away. But don't do what I want, do what you want. He would rather do what God asks than to get his own way. So it is a difficult time for him. But we see him submitting and saying, I will do whatever it takes and whatever God wants me to do. I think in our lives, sometimes we face difficult decisions. Sometimes we face difficult times. And it's easy to want that to be taken away. That's natural. And sometimes God does take it away. But there are other times when we need to just say, not my will, but yours. Lord, I don't insist on doing it my way. I will do it your way, even if that is difficult, even if that is painful. I would rather do what you want than to do things my way. And so that is the challenge. Are we willing to follow and obey, even when it is difficult? Are we willing to put God's will first, above our own desires, above our own decisions, above doing it our way? Will we do it God's way? And that's what he's calling us to do. And so finally, Jesus is arrested. Judas comes with soldiers, and they arrest him. And we'll see more about his trial and the results tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to never forget what Jesus did for us. Lord, it is easy sometimes to take it for granted, to not think about it. But Lord, when we observe the Lord's Supper, and we look at the bread and the wine, and we think about what you went through, the pain of your body being broken, the pain of your blood being shed, all done for us. Lord, I'm humbled and overwhelmed by the love that you showed. Lord, may we remember and honor you through that. Lord, as we face decisions in life, may we echo your words, not my will but thine. Lord, may we willingly submit to whatever it is that you call us to, not my will but yours. Even if it is difficult, even if it is painful, Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. We long to follow you, to obey, because I know that your way is best. Lord, it was very difficult for Jesus to give himself, but that was the best for all mankind, that because of that, we have a way to you. So, Lord, help us submit and surrender and give up whatever it is that's not your will. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.